This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the numbers are in, and it was a smashing success. The Match 2 drew about 6 million people, becoming one of the top golf broadcasts on cable television, which actually isn't a bad... Listen, TNT has done the PGA Championship for a number of years. That's not a bad... class to be in, one of the top cable broadcasts for golf. Between the four superstars, raised $20 million for charity. But what does it say? I mean, in reality, what does it mean, right? I mean, why did people watch it on Memorial Day weekend? Was it because it was a competition and it was sports? Was it because it was celebrities? I mean, we had four guys who are very, very famous. Two are famous in the king sport in the country, in the NFL. And two are... not only famous in their sport, but are famous even beyond their sport in Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. Was it that? I don't know what it was. I mean, look, I think we are dying for any type of sporting event. We're dying for any type of thing that we can watch on TV in terms of a competition because we miss it so badly. But also, I think it was just the perfect storm of everything. It was, again, the celebrity factor. It was a competition. It raised money for COVID relief. There was going to be some personality. There was a level of entertainment to it. It may have gone over better than a lot of people. I wonder even if in the broadcast, even in the offices of TNT and Turner Sports, when they were figuring out what numbers could this realistically bring. I mean, I wonder if 6 million viewers was even beyond what they had talked about in a realistic setting. Obviously, you want to hope for the best, but this was a smashing success. And it does lend itself to things we're going to talk about this morning, because the NBA, as we talked about yesterday, the Board of Governors is going to be setting to vote about playing at Disney. There's a phase two plan to return the NHL back to get into some sort of postseason, and there's a postseason plan that's in place. The Tampa Bay Rays have opened up Tropicana Field for some small, light workouts in hopes that the proposal for Major League Baseball gets back up and running. And when all of this stuff does, I know we'll be waiting.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Find us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. And spell Ron with two N's, please. So as I was saying earlier, the match was a big success, about 6 million viewers. That's where it peaked, about 5.8 on average on the metrics. Think about this for a second. You've got the NBA is making a plan to come back, and the NHL is trying to figure out how they can come back. Their phase two, by the way, the NHL is there isn't a date to start it, but the phase two plan, which they're hoping to start in the next week or so, is small workouts of like six players or less, no coaches on the ice, etc. But they look like they feel like they're getting close to getting something together. They put together a plan to put 24 teams in the playoffs. And that would, with four teams getting a bye, it's a lot of teams. I mean, there's like 30. So almost everybody would make the playoffs. And then the NBA is talking about going to Disney and then playing out some games in the regular season and then playing into a postseason. So you think about Adam Silver, you think about Gary Bettman, you think about Rob Manfred. Now, these are the sports, these are the three of the four of the major sports in the country that are looking for some kind of return, okay? And they're getting the numbers from the match. Now, they know that, You put Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods on a Sunday afternoon and Memorial Day weekend, you're going to get good numbers. We're dying for something entertaining. We're dying for something new. And this is good content. It's golf. It's entertainment. There's some laughter. There's some competition. But if you're Adam Silver, don't you sit there and just lick your chops at the idea of what your sport could generate in terms of a playoff at Disney World? I mean, from a public that's dying, you know, no fans, no audience in attendance, but you can make up for it with some better numbers than you would ever dream, based on the fact that people are just craving this kind of content. The NHL, even the NHL, could probably use a boost like that. So there's some good news on the horizon, right? I mean, look, again, it is. Closing out the regular season for the NBA important? Always, we said yesterday, some of the regional contracts that they want to you got to get about 67% based on some contracts of regular season games in. If they can do that, they will, right? So they don't have to pay money back or they've got it done. But a round robin kind of tournament, best 2 out of 3, or you know, single double elimination or something like that, I think would be fantastic. Right, if you can contain it, and just you got this one spot, and every day there are games building up into this NBA championship, however it may look. I mean, even the NHL at 24 teams, you're allowing more cities, more quarantined cities, to experience a playoff. Right, just something rather than 16 teams, you've added 8 more. To the mix. 8 more cities that weren't going to be part of your Stanley Cup run are now involved in the Stanley Cup run. And will it look different? Of course. Will it be viewed in history differently? Of course. But you know what? I think when I go back and I think about some of the ways we've done playoffs in the past, 82 football strike, we don't really talk about it that much. We've crowned a champion and we get a champion. But I also think it goes into the ingenuity of these organizations when you can look back and say, you know, when I hear Barkley and them say, well, there's going to be an asterisk next to the NBA champion. Probably, maybe. But let's ask the question, not whether or not an asterisk is going to be put there. Ask whether or not an asterisk is going to be bad there. Right? That's the question. When people believed, when there was an urban legend, it never really occurred that Roger Maris had an asterisk next to his 61 home runs. That never actually happened. But people believed it because it made sense. He had more games than Babe Ruth. So it was an easy thing to believe. But people think asterisk means, oh, it's tainted. There's something wrong with it. It's different. It's not special. It's different. But on the flip side of that, think about what we could say about our society, where we had this global pandemic, we were shut down, we had a society that was quarantined, we had people lose their jobs, we had the economy go from really good to struggling, depression level marks, sports had to disappear, we didn't know how it was going to come back. Then it came back, and we figured out a way. And was it the normal way? No. Was it a way we did, we were going to do it down the road? No. But in the year of 2020, where everything was, you know, hell in a handbasket, the NBA found a way to crown a champion. And it was kind of cool, because the alternative was no champion. The alternative was nothing. So if you are at this ESPN complex down in Disney World, and LeBron James and the Lakers are celebrating a championship with no crowd, nobody watching, just on television, and it doesn't feel like a championship moment, it feels really different. Don't equate that moment to last year when the Toronto Raptors were celebrating their title. Just look at it and say, well, the alternative was I was going to get nothing. We were going to get shut down and hopefully return in the fall to try this thing again. And I think in the end, that is what I hope that the history books of sports will talk about. Not, well, they got it in and it was, the Sixers won the championship, but it really, it was just a weird tournament. No, it was a tournament that we found a way to make it happen. Same with the NHL or Major League Baseball figured out a way. Now, I was saying this yesterday, and I'm optimistic here. I'm being optimistic because I'm trying, I'm trying to hold on. I think college football is going to lose some games. I think there's going to be some games that are going to be canceled just out of scheduling, concerns or whatnot. But I think there's going to be a college football season that's going to have value. I think it's going to be, these games that are going to be missing are not going to be a big deal. I think we're going to have a four-team playoff. I think it's all going to go out without a hitch. For the most part, it's going to be done on time, start on time. Like I said, I don't think every game that is on the 2020 schedule is going to get played. I think it's going to be at some point, somebody in some state is not going to be able to have a game until a certain other point. And I think for the some of these non-conference games, I think it's just going to get canceled. But I think the NFL goes off without any problems at all.
Fans in the stands?
Not fans in the stands, but I think schedule-wise, it'll be on your TV.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't think it's going to be, I hope well, you're we're wrong not going to start college, until October. I hope every game is played. I do, too. I hope every game is played. But I don't know. There's something about the vastness of all the teams and where they're going.
300 plus.
There's all these.
It's going to be tough.
It's just too. The idea that everybody in all of the conferences and even the non-Power 5 conferences, they're all going to play every single game on their schedule. Something tells me I don't think it's going to happen.
See, now what I'm not a fan of is thinking of, hey, some schools in that conference can play and others can't.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's like, all right, so if you take the SEC, for example, say Alabama can play, Auburn can't. I'm not going to feel good about.
No, I'm not either.
It's like,
no.
do we shut down the entire conference at that point? I mean, how do you judge? How do you
Think of the pressure the university presidents are under, right? If you're a president of a school, not the athletic director, the president of the school, and you're in a state that it's kind of still a hot zone, and you're in discussions about, well, online classes, or do we delay classes or whatnot, and then you've got this like little bug in the corner of the room that's like football money. And you're like, well, I have to make a decision on the whole university, professors, graduate assistants, cafeteria personnel. Like, I got to deal with every single employee.
The ones who don't care about sport.
Right. So I'm making a decision based on the safety of everyone at this university. And if I make a decision for X, and that means we don't play football, And then I've then got to tell the athletic director, or I got to make a point to the conference that we're going to be shut down a little bit longer here in wherever, then you're going to have to just go on without us. I use this as an example, but I don't really know the data, so please forgive me, but it's just an example. Like, I think about Rutgers in New Jersey, and I think, it's just because I keep hearing how New Jersey and New York is just still it's still an incredible hot zone. So I think about Rutgers, which is, not a good football team, but nevertheless, still important for scheduling. And I think
it's in the Big Ten. I mean, that's a major conference.
So if you're Rutgers and you're like, we can't play, and Nebraska is like, well, we can and we are going to, so see ya. Like, we'll, catch up with the group whenever you can, but we're not shutting this thing down because you can't play football this year.
I know. And then the other flip side of it all, too, is, hey, you can have football, but Nebraska, you're not going to have any fan revenue.
Right.
I mean, the only money you're bringing in is either through TV deals that you might have or boosters just shelling out money out of their pocket.
I heard a thing that, like, the stadium in Lincoln is the third largest town in Nebraska when it's full. Like, I don't know if that was one of those cute little
things,
but it's probably
no
true.
One lives in Nebraska.
Right? Outside of Omaha, I don't know where the other big city is in Nebraska.
I would assume Lincoln just because it's the capital.
Lincoln, Omaha, maybe Scottsbluff? Nebraska?
Dude, you're making that name up.
Am I making that name
up? You're making that name up. No such town as Scotts Bluff.
I think I saw it on a map. But yeah, can you imagine, like, no rain, yeah. But I think the NFL kickoff weekend, kickoff days that Thursday night between Kansas City and Houston, I think it goes on scheduled. I think all the games fly through. You know, knock on wood, no second wave of the virus, but that's my optimism. All right, coming up next, Vegas has got the odds on who is going to be the coach of the year. The two favorites have something to do with one man. I'll tell you about it next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, O'Reilly Auto Parts, I'll make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Save 15% when you buy any BrakeBest pads and two BrakeBest rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So we were correct. That
No. We got to give credit where credit is due. You were
all
correct.
Right. Well, it's a team effort.
I just fact checked you.
Okay,
that's all I did.
So I had heard that the Nebraska Stadium is Memorial Stadium is the third largest city in the state when it is at full occupancy on football Saturdays in Lincoln.
Yeah, not just by a little, by the way.
Oh,
it isn't just barely the third largest city.
And I always thought that was just one of those cool things people said, but, you know, nobody ever really looked it up. It was like, yeah, that's really awesome. But now you're telling me it's true.
It's true. Okay, Memorial Stadium has a seating capacity of 90,000.
Okay, that's a lot, but...
That's a lot of people, right? Omaha checks in as the number one city with 446,000, or about 447,000. Lincoln is number two with a little over 280,000. So... University of Nebraska's in Lincoln, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's almost a quarter of the people in Lincoln, Nebraska go to the stadium.
Wow. So now you're talking about two cities that are in, you know, six figures.
Yeah.
But if you told me the next one was 80,000 or 90,000, I'd go, well, isn't there another place in Nebraska that's got 100,000 people?
Au contraire, mon frère.
Au contraire.
Checking in at number three is Bellevue, Nebraska.
All right. How many people do they have?
53,000.
Wow.
So when you have when you have a full stadium, you have 40,000 more people than that occupy the city, the great city of Bellevue, Nebraska.
That's amazing. That's
so you are
incredible.
Right.
Wow.
On Saturday, Memorial Stadium is the third largest city in Nebraska.
That's great. That's fantastic. I love that. All right, so we were right. That's great. Yeah, so you can only imagine the pressure to try to get as many fans paying
money. And that's going to be the issue, right? I mean, who's Nebraska? Are they going to be playing Wyoming and Montana? Because, I mean, if you have Michigan who says, hey, you can't play.
Right.
Who are they going to play?
Exactly. They got to play somebody. I'm telling you, that Rutgers thing,
Ohio,
I'm wondering about that.
I'm not even going to look at Ohio State yet, but Ohio as a state has been like the first ones, you know, one of the first ones to cancel school. They were the first ones to cancel this. I mean, they've been on the forefront of like, hey, we want to get way ahead of this.
Yeah, their governor's done a pretty good job, right? I mean,
right.
He's gotten a lot of accolades.
Is he going to be holding on to that as we get inch closer to football season?
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. It's going to be really interesting, the power dynamic. When you're talking about these multi-billion dollar industries that just are like, listen, we're going to be, don't you be thinking about doing this.
And so I'm just curious, when do these schools need to start letting students know? I mean, I know they don't have to do like the California State University system, like 3 months out. Hey, just online classes next fall, no students on campus.
I'll tell you right now, my son doesn't know. He's going to college in the fall. He's not 100%
sure. Are you moving
him? We're supposed to be.
I mean, I know you probably have a plan to move him, but
Like, everything is tentative. Like, it's like, well, this is the weekend with a big question mark.
I mean, are you going to feel good about dropping him off, not knowing if he's going to class?
Well, Well, I'm worried about it. I told my wife this. I said, dropping him off and then 2 weeks later going, you got to come get me. Yeah, we're shutting this thing down again.
Yeah.
You know, like, they caught 100 cases. So I got to get out of here.
You say, just go make a friend that lives in Florida. Stay with him.
Yeah. Exactly.
You moved out. Your room's already a gym.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm not going to. What do you think? You're coming back here to just pretend like it's all normal? Like, what are you kidding me?
I needed a second office.
That's real estate. Are you kidding me? That's open real estate. I'm going to leave. What are we, you know, it's square footage, if you will.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But daughter's already in a better mood. I can't explain it.
It is crazy. I mean, it really, really is crazy. All right, so Vegas has got its list of the NFL Coach of the Year candidates for who's going to win.
Yay. Right?
So this is already out. This is out a little early, but who is going to be the 2020 NFL Coach of the Year?
Okay, just before you spout out the list, do you feel like Vegas is just going to start coming up with these lists? Like, we just need betters.
I know, absolutely.
Just
why
start
wouldn't
throwing
they?
Money in.
Yes, of course. We got Let's start going.
We got your NCAA Final Four. Already picked out.
Isn't this an attractive bet? Come on in. The water's warm. Dive on in. Play some money down. So the number one, there's two guys on the list who are the favorites to win the Coach of the Year. And again, separated by one individual. Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots and Bruce Arians of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're both at 12-1, according to this one sports book. So if Belichick wins successfully without Tom Brady, he has as good a shot as winning Coach of the Year as Bruce Arians does with Tom Brady. That's basically the takeaway out of this. So getting one of the top quarterbacks, even though he's 43 years old, helps Bruce Arians rocket up the Coach of the Year candidacy list, whereas Bill Belichick, if he can find a way to successfully navigate his NFL schedule without Brady, with Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham at quarterback, he would be Coach of the Year. You know who's number three on the list? Mike McCarthy. The new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He's at 14-1.
Yeah, that one I can see. That's a brand new situation.
That's right.
If he makes a good run with the Cowboys, Jerry Jones lets him coach.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I can see that one.
The Tom Brady factor, is it really that big?
That's my question. Is it really?
I mean,
like, where would Bruce Arians be on the list without Brady? And to be honest with you, where would Belichick be with Brady?
Exactly.
Because Brady, is Belichick always the favorite to win this thing? Doesn't the idea of this go to, hey, we really didn't think you'd be all that good, and you guys won 10 games. Congratulations.
Right.
Buffalo Bills head coach, whoever, right?
Now, who we don't know.
You know, Sean McDermott, I think his name. Right?
Is it Sean McDermott?
I think it's Sean McDermott.
Or Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, like a Cliff Kingsbury, you know, right? Like, we didn't think you'd be very good in your first year.
Is that the
well
DeAndre
done.
Hopkins influence?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Bill O'Brien wins without DeAndre Hopkins. Cliff Kingsbury wins with DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it's the same rational thought.
So here's
your doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, here's where these guys are. So you got McCarthy at three at 14-1. Frank Reich, that's actually a cool bet. If I was going to take a shot on somebody, I'd take Frank Reich. Phillip Rivers, Indianapolis. Reich's done a pretty good job there.
Yeah.
16-1.
Okay.
To win Coach of the Year. I could see that one. Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes and coming off a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, no. You know, you don't get to be coach.
No,
of the only way you get to be Coach of the Year, Andy, is if you go 16-0.
That's right. That's true.
It's the only way.
But here's the thing. He's got the same odds, according to the sports book, as Kevin Stefanik, the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, at 18-1.
No.
Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McDermott also at 18-1, Arizona and Buffalo. Kyle Shanahan coming off an NFC championship at 20-1. Mike Vrabel of Tennessee at 22-1. Brian Flores down in Miami with Tua 22-1. 25-1, along with Doug Peterson in Philadelphia and John Harbaugh in Baltimore and Sean Payton in New Orleans. And there you go.
Where's
who
Bengals?
Where is my man Zach Taylor? Here he is, 33-1.
33-1.
Here are the long shots to win Coach of the Year. Here's the ones that basically have no chance. Adam Gase, Doug Marrone, and our good friend Billy O'Brien at 50-1. All of those are 50-1.
That makes sense.
Billy O'Brien should be 1,000-1.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. I'm about ready to break a little radio rule here when you do mornings. You never complain about being tired.
Right?
You never complain about being tired. It's one of the rules of doing morning shows, because nobody cares like that you get up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't.
Right? We don't.
I don't want to hear about you being tired.
We try to come with high energy, right? We want to, you know, if you're commuting in, you're tired, you're going to work, we try to be upbeat. However,
you have a case of the Mondays every day.
But every now and then, I have insomnia. I can't get to, I cannot sleep. I can't sleep during the day. I can't sleep at night.
Well, then obviously you're not tired.
Well, I'm not tired, but I mean, I just like, and here's the thing, my wife seems more concerned about it than I am. Because she had the day off yesterday, and I was in the house, and I woke up way earlier than I normally do, like when I take an afternoon siesta. She's like, "What are you doing?" And I go, "I haven't been able to sleep for a couple of days. Like even on the weekend, I was getting up and just like at night." Here's the annoying thing, though, and I got to stop doing this after 20 plus years of marriage. I got to stop doing this. When I can't sleep, the last thing I need to do is go, "Hey, hey, hey. Hey, I can't sleep." "What? I can't sleep. What are you telling me for?" I don't know. I'm going to just get up and walk around in case you're wondering where I am.
They don't care.
No, they don't care. She don't care. But now she's like, "Should you be, I don't know, should we get you a melatonin pill? Should we get you, I don't know. You tell me." I was like, "I don't know what it is. I just can't. I don't know. My mind's just going in 100 directions. I can't calm it down." Right? I'm, you know, thinking of things to do with the show, and I'm thinking about things to do later on, and things I'm forgetting, and I'm like, "Oh shoot, I was supposed to go to the store to get this thing."
You know what it is?
Slow down.
I know what it is.
What is it?
This time of the year, this is when you normally have had baseball on to kind of drift off into a nice sound
sleep. Good point.
You've had it on in the background.
No.
Because let's face it.
That's true.
Baseball and golf
are
two great sports to fall asleep to.
That's a great
point. My wife will throw in tennis, but the tick-tocking sound of the balls going back and forth drive me nuts.
Yeah.
But baseball, I used to, I could knock out in a baseball game. That's one of my favorite pastimes to do. We talk about America's pastime.
Sure.
Drifting off to sleep, waking up and going, "Oh, look, I missed three runs. No big deal.
So
I can catch up."
But I'm worried that when it breaks, I'll sleep for like 4 days.
That's fine. That's fine.
Were you supposed to be doing some things?
The show will carry on.
Don't wake him up. He hasn't slept in a week and a half.
Hibernation time. We all go through it.
But here's the thing. When I say insomnia, it's actually probably not the right term, because I'll doze off for a little bit. But then I'll have a little bit of a dream, and then I'll wake up and I'll look at the time and go, "Wow, that was only half an hour."
Yeah.
Like, how did I disappear for that long? Where in my brain, I felt like I did all these things in my dream, but I look at the clock and it's like, it's like 45 minutes.
All right, since we're talking about sleep, the last two siestas, because I know we don't want to say the word nap.
Right.
It makes us sound old.
We're six or 75. Take your pick.
Yeah, either one. They're one and the same. But the last two that I've had, I've woken up in a panic because I look at the clock and I'm thinking it's the following day. The other Friday, I woke up at 3. And my first thought was, "Oh my God, I slept through an entire day."
Oh, wow.
And thinking, like, I'm going to check my phone. You're frantically calling me because I never showed up.
Right. Oh, that would be scary.
Yeah. It was not a pleasant wake up because, I mean, it was one of those. I mean, I'm in my bed. I didn't know where I was when I woke up. I'm like, "Oh, okay. What day is it?"
Man.
And I really did think, like, how did I sleep through an entire show?
I think you're right about that baseball thing, though. I think you're 100% right.
Oh, yeah.
At least they used to have a game on or something.
Yeah, it's you know, that's how I normally fall asleep, was I throw it on, you know, throw it on game. I can't throw it on SportsCenter because then I get too into it.
Yeah,
you know, that's usually,
I have a problem with that.
You know, I know a lot of people watch that at night. That's kind of their go-to, is to watch SportsCenter, because they'll be watching it and you're watching highlight after highlight. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like I do that and I start getting into it.
No, I agree. That show moves too quick and got too many things popping for your brain to not settle.
Which is a credit to them, because
they do a good job.
That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to keep airing it, you know, keep it fresh and new and exciting, so you do stay awake and you tune in for all of it. But man, you just throw on a baseball game, and you get that late night feels. God, I mean, it's perfect. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I never really experienced it until you started talking about it more and more. Was Pac-12 After Dark?
I love it. I love that.
You know,
that's my favorite time of the year.
I mean, I lived in Pac-12 country, so it wasn't really after dark. It was normal. But
late night Pac-12 football.
Now I'm like, yeah, I'll throw it on, and I'm sitting there, and before I know it, it's 3 a.m. and there's some infomercial on a blender.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's what I do. That's my favorite. I don't have my kids are usually doing something else. My wife goes to bed. I just get the media room to myself and watch football.
Oh my God, it's
fantastic.
I just
love it. I love, leave me alone. I grab some quick snack.
I'm watching two schools I could care less about.
I'm watching Stanford against Washington and Seattle on a Saturday night at midnight, 12:30. It's great. And that's, you know, living in SEC country, and everybody talks about all the, you know, great matchups. And I go, yeah, I love Pac-12 football. I love watching it until like 1:30. It's fantastic.
It's one of those two. It's like you kind of nod off, you wake up, game's still on. Okay, cool. I'll watch another 15 minutes of it, then I'll go to bed. Next thing you know, it's an hour later, and you wake up again going, I should have went to bed an hour ago.
See how we take this for granted, and then all of a sudden it's taken away from us, and we realize how much our brains really do miss us for just functioning properly? You might be 100% right about that.
I think what it is, it's just the brain is catching up with everything that we've been missing.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
What happened to the San Francisco Giants LA Dodgers game at about this time of year?
Yeah.
What happened to that? They used to kind of lull us off into la la land. Now now we won't shut down. How about that? Now we'll start thinking about all sorts of crazy nonsense in your head.
Now, can you imagine watching baseball now with no fans? It'll be so much easier to fall asleep.
Two on, nobody out here in the eighth. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, okay. Are they going to be that? Thank you for bringing that up. Are they going? Is there going to be an organ grinder or whatever they're called? Is there people going to be leading charge music?
Da 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 da.
I mean, that's you. All those things that hype up the crowd,
right?
And if there's no crowd, are we still going to get that?
You know what? They should just have the first baseman go, yeah!
Are the Cubs still going to have celebrities to come in to lead, out to the ball game during the seventh inning?
Hey, you know what? That's a good question. Would you deuce take me out to the ball game? What's the seventh inning stretch if there's no stretching?
Yeah.
Like, who's going to do that? You're exactly right. All the fun parts of the ballpark, you're not going to just take out of the equation.
I mean, that's what we always say. I mean, obviously, I still feel this way. A baseball game live is much better than on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
As opposed to, say, like a football game. Yeah. I think I'd rather enjoy a football game on TV more so than live. Because,
yeah, I agree
one,
with that.
I can't get close to the field. You know, I'm not Daddy Warbucks over here.
Yeah.
And so... And two, I mean, it always just seems to be a pain. It's a hassle because everyone's moving at the same time. Baseball people, when you're in a stadium, you can leave during a game and come back and not really miss anything.
Well, yeah. Don't
you know,
no
all
doubt.
Those other sports, it feels like everyone leaves at the quarter. Everyone leaves at half. You know, you're amongst the crowd the entire time. But, yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, is there any hype music or hype sound effects
needed?
Yeah,
what would it sound like? I mean... I don't know. I've gone back and forth in the piping in crowd noise debate, right? I mean, do I want that or do I just want it to be what it is?
I did take in a little Bundesliga. on Saturday or Sunday.
Did that
I can't remember
work?
Which day.
Because I've been seeing that
you know
as
what?
An example.
It was weird because, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm on my phone. I'm checking Twitter and whatnot. And I hear the crowd noise. I hear the noise. And whoever is pushing the buttons to, you know, at the right time, he did a fantastic job. I got to give him all the credit in the world because that's got to be a tough gig to know when to hit the – because they don't boo over there. They whistle. To know when to hit the whistles, to when to hit the cheer button. And it sounded real. It sounded like it was an actual game. And then every so often, you know, the play of game would move towards one of the sidelines. And you would see that there's nobody there.
See, that would be weird to me.
And it was really a mind trip because you're sitting there going, okay, I know there's no fans in the stands, but I hear the chanting. I hear the singing. But at the same time, I'm looking at it going, okay, will this work in the NFL? Will this work, you know, like Joe Buck said, we're going to pump it in for Fox football. Will that work? Because, you know, overseas, they do a lot. There's a lot of songs involved.
Yeah, sure.
You know, chanting players' names, and they all put it to some sort of nursery rhyme or some sort of, you know, song where everything rhymes together. And it makes sense. That actually worked. I just don't know if it, because we don't do that here.
Yeah, well, in terms of pumping in crowd noise, I mean, in all seriousness, are they going to be, is it just cheering? I mean, like for example, will they, if you have a football game, right, where it's fourth quarter and the other team is driving and there's like, less than 2 minutes on the clock and the crowd is trying to, you know, the guy is trying to present it on TV. So you're watching it on TV and obviously they're not doing it at the stadium, but they're like, yeah, this will be, you know, the crowd would be up for this moment when the opponents are in the red zone. And then when they score, do they just bring it down artificially as like will somebody be doing that? Or will they just will they just be pressing buttons for your TV so it feels like there's just something there, even if it's not making sense? Is it situational? Are they just going, if it's a touchdown, you hear the crowd. If it's a field goal, you hear the crowd. Is the crowd going to be there all the time? Are they going to move up the intensity when a team is nearing scoring? I mean, like is somebody playing around with that rather than just going, yeah, we're just going to pipe it in when there's scores and then everything else is going to be dead.
And when the crowd's really deafening, say you're in Seattle, you know, one of the noisiest crowds or Arrowhead, you're going to see the opposing team quarterback walk up to the line like it's nothing.
Yeah, I know, right? You're going to, on TV, you're going to see like, that's loud. And then you're like, because it's not usually, really loud. He's not playing in front of anybody.
I mean, usually you see the quarterback walking up to the line or he's in the huddle. He has his hands over the ear holes in his helmet trying to, you know, make sure that he can hear what the play is called. I mean, he's not going to be doing any of that. And do they have to turn down the volume?
Yeah.
Because if you have the volume too loud in your head, in your helmet, can the other team hear you?
In all my years of doing this for a living, I never thought I'd have to do a segment on whether or not piping in crowd noise for television makes sense.
Yep.
But that's the kind of world we live in today.
And I got one more thought for you.
That does make sense. Go ahead.
Okay. Bernie Brewer, does he go down the slide?
Yeah, right? Does he do that? Do the Washington Nationals do that presidential run thing?
Does it make any sense?
It's William Taft running up against Franklin Pierce. Like, does that work?
I mean, because they don't do that for the players.
No.
Players don't care.
They don't care. More of an annoyance. Oh, goodness gracious.
Maybe those are the lucky fans that get to watch the game live.
Ah, you're right. The few that get to, like, scatter in the stadium. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call, ESPN Nation Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let's see, Michael on Twitter. I've been waking up at 3:30 a.m. every morning for the last 8 days. That's early, Mike.
Yay! Just to catch us.
Yesterday morning, I watched
Saturdays
The Hustler.
And Sundays.
Yesterday morning, I watched The Hustler with Paul Newman and Jackie Gleason, prequel to The Color of Money, and had never seen it before. See, that's the thing you can do with your time.
No, wait, that's The Hustle, right?
The Hustler.
Is it The Hustler?
Yeah.
I thought
that's
The Hustler
the
was
The Color of Money.
But I thought that was the J-Lo movie.
Oh, ha ha.
Because, I mean, I understand waking up to that.
Now, they do say if you have insomnia, like, the worst thing to do is to lay in bed and not do anything. Get up, read a book, watch TV, do something.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they say. But I can't. I won't. Because I feel, here's why I feel like I won't. Because my brain is already racing, so if I watch television, I'll just be like, well, I'm never going to sleep. Forget it. I'm engaged in this movie or this book or this magazine article or whatever the heck I'm doing at the time. I'm not going to be sleepy. My brain is already racing. I'm just going to spend my time trying to calm it down.
Sorry about that noise.
What was that?
That's my microphone.
Oh.
It just decided to fall.
Insomnia. It is the worst, though.
Yeah, the microphone had insomnia.
Yeah.
It just fell asleep.
It's like being comfortable and you just can't, your brain just wants to hang out a little bit longer. Man, I think about the crazy. You ever do that thing where you think of one thing and before you know it, it leads to another thought, another thought, another thought, and you think about totally something else? You're like, wow.
Yeah. No, that's always, for me, that's in the shower.
Yeah.
When I'm standing out, I'm standing there in the shower and I'm like, you know, I just got to take a quick minute shower, you know, 5 minute shower, you know, just wash the body, get on out. And then before I know, like 15 minutes have gone by and I'm like, God, man, I just ran through so many thoughts.
Right.
World changing, life changing exactly. Thoughts.
My wife always wonders why I forget stuff. She's like, how do you forget stuff? Your brain is like always thinking of stuff.
Yeah, it's too much going on.
Well, I got too much going on, so I can't really process it like you can. So, again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along. Coming up, more thoughts from yesterday's NFL conversation about Flacco and Cam Newton. It's all coming up next on SB Nation Radio.